Let us come to worship the Lord. Let us all pray. Gracious, loving, eternal, blessed Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We pray this morning our worship will be blessed of the Lord, that we will be drawn closer to Thy wounded side. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're commencing our worship with the paraphrase 43, based on John 14, verses 25 to 28. Page 160, you know, you now must hear my voice no more. My Father calls me home, but soon from heaven the Holy Ghost, your Comforter, shall come. Paraphrase 43, page 160, we'll stand after the introduction and sing together. Eternal, gracious Father, we come into Thy presence this morning to worship Thee, to praise Thy holy name, to honor Thyself in Thy glorious person. We thank Thee for Thy majesty. We thank Thee for Thy might. We thank Thee for all that Thou art. As far as Thine attributes are concerned, Thy goodness and all of the attributes of God, we rejoice, O God, this morning in Thy person. As we come to Thee, Father, we rejoice in the glorious persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we say, as we think again upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we pray that our hearts today will be warmed, our hearts today will be challenged, and our hearts today will be blessed. We pray, Father, for the needs of the people who gather. As our faces differ, so do our needs. Let us see each heart. Let us know each life. Let us know each circumstance. Let us know the illness that has befallen many in our congregation and afflicted many in our families. We pray for healing for that sickness, if it is your will. And for those in the midst of sickness who know not Christ, we pray that today their hearts will be turned to Thee in saving faith. We pray for our families, many in our families who know Thee not, that even as we meet this morning, Thou wilt deal with them that Thou wilt speak to them, that Thou wilt reveal Thyself unto them, and that Thou wilt bring them today in saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, come down upon our waiting hearts this morning. Wilt Thou not revive us again, that we Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Remember, O God, the services today. Bless the preaching of Thy Word. Bless the preacher. Give help, O Lord. Stand alongside to help. Empower us. Enable us. Equip us. Endue us. Infill us. And grant that we might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Remember in the evening time, in the gospel, that's our brother who speaks. We pray that Thou wilt bless everyone who participates tonight. We pray for help and for blessing, for power and for unction upon Thy Word, even tonight in the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymn number 166, and we'll stand again as we engage in the singing of this hymn. 166, Come Holy Ghost, and so spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abide. 166 on page 244. We'll stand as we sing together. Well, boys and girls, we're thinking of a new story now concerning the rich young ruler. It's found in Matthew chapter 19. It's also found, of course, in Mark's Gospel as well, boys and girls. And this rich young ruler, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came with a question. Boys and girls, sometimes we come before the Lord, and even we come into church or into Sunday school or the children's meeting, and we have a question on our mind, a question to the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe a question about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, he had a direct question to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" It seemed a very important question, and it is a very important question. But boys and girls, this young man, he was taken up with what he had to do. What must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And oftentimes, boys and girls, we're taken up with what we have to do in regard to our works. Can we do something whereby we can be saved, whereby we can obtain or inherit eternal life? But boys and girls, there is nothing that we can do of ourselves. Nothing we can do of ourselves to inherit eternal life. It's not by works, you see, boys and girls. We may be very good. We may come to Sunday school and come to church and do all the things that are good, but we cannot do anything of ourselves to gain eternal life. Boys and girls, he asked, the Lord Jesus replied to him and said to him, "Do you know the commandments?" And here's a young man who knows the commandments. And maybe if I were to ask some boys and girls this morning about the commandments, you would say, "Oh, Mr. Smiley, the Ten Commandments." Maybe some of you even know the Ten Commandments. And this young man, he knew the commandments that the Lord spoke about: murder and adultery and loving his neighbor. These commandments. But you know, boys and girls, he could say that all these commandments had he kept from his youth up. But all of the commandments that the Lord mentioned had to do with his relationship with men. His relationship with others. Not his relationship with God. And boys and girls this morning, you may be able to say, "Well, I don't murder, I don't do these things, I keep these commandments," as this rich young ruler did. His relationship with others was very good. Maybe you're very good. Maybe you can get on very well with others. That's very good and very nice and very right that you should. But boys and girls, what about your relationship with God this morning? What about your relationship with Him? That's the most important thing of all. And so this morning, I trust that as we think about this story over the next weeks, that you will think about your relationship with God. How it is between you and God. Are you saved? Have you had your sins forgiven? Have you known the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus in your heart and in your life? I pray that that will be so with you this morning. We're going to sing a chorus now, and we want you to do the accent. We'll sing it through twice. Rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Amen.
We're going to read together from the Word of God this morning. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're reading from the verse number 1. Ephesians 5 and the verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of His inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. We do welcome you all this morning to the Lord's house. We trust the Lord's blessing will be upon our coming together this morning in His name. Could I remind you of the time around the Lord's table to remember the Lord's death at the conclusion of our service this morning for all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says this, do in remembrance of me. And then this afternoon at 3, the youth are to meet to set up for tonight. So please remember that, 3 o'clock this afternoon for the youth. And then Monday, the little sunbeams and the Awana, as usual times. Tuesday night, the children's meeting, the usual time, 7 to 7:45. The Bible study and prayer meeting on Tuesday at 8, we're thinking of the mission and the need for prayer there, and we trust you'll join us. And we're thinking about the theme, how we can go and tell our family and friends about Jesus. That's the theme we're going to develop by way of study on Tuesday night in the Bible study, thinking about the mission. Then Friday night, the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. The theme is, who wants to be a millionaire? Not sure what that's about, but no doubt they'll develop that theme and speak about that on Friday night. All young people, welcome. And then there's a presbytery meeting in our Clare Valley Church on Friday at 8 p.m. Youth Reach is Saturday the 2nd, and then the 16th for March, the final nights of Youth Reach. Forms are available for the outing on the 16th. Please remember that and bring them back for that. That's the Youth Reach this coming Saturday at 7:30, 9:15, and then the final night, 16th of March, and the forms are available for that. Next Lord's Day, building fund offerings at both services, Sunday school and Bible class at 10, 11:30 and 7. I'll be here myself, God willing, to bring the Lord's Word. Our sister Natasha will minister in song in the evening time, and the prayer meeting's 11 and 6:30. Tonight, of course, is our family and friends night service. a special testimony from our brother Philip Moore from Banbridge, a former paratrooper, wonderful story of the grace of God, to come and hear the story tonight. The Monteith family will be ministering in song. It's also the dedication of Dale and Natasha's daughter, Faith. Do remember that, please. Freshmen's afterwards, Group 3 are responsible, and Youth Fellowship will be helping tonight as well. Do remember that, please. And today is the special effort for the radios you heard about last week. If you want to support this, you can give this morning if you're not going to be available tonight. You want to maybe give something towards these radios that young people are seeking to get for Faith in Action, the work of Donald Fleming. And if you want to contribute towards that, you heard about it last Sunday. Do remember that, and there'll be a basket tonight again there available at the end of the tea and so forth. So do remember, please, that tonight as well, these retiring offerings for this work. If you want to help, if you didn't come prepared today, I'm sure it'll be accepted another time as well. If you want to bring it in next week or whenever it suits. And then could I mention all reports for printing in the annual report 2018 to be sent to Bill Stewart no later than this Thursday, the 28th of February. I've reminded folk by text and so forth a number of times. Maybe you've already done this, or maybe you're running it close to the wire. Well, please get it in, because we do need it in by Thursday. And let me say, if it isn't in by Thursday, it doesn't go in. So that's just the long and short of it. So that's putting the pressure on you to sit down for 15 minutes. Get it done, please, for this Thursday, the 28th. This has been announced over a number of times. The Church Week of Prayer is not this week, but the following week, 4th to the 8th. Please remember that each night. We're not getting reports of the work this year. We're just getting down to prayer, thinking about the work as a whole and thinking about the mission. So please remember the 4th to the 8th. And each night it will be from 8 to 9. Of course, the usual Bible study on the Tuesday night. Other nights, 8 to 9 o'clock, we'll be seeking God's face, having a hymn, brief Bible reading, and getting down to prayer for the mission. So please remember that. Remember the summer outreaches too, mentioned on your announcement sheet. And please keep these in mind. There'll be fuller announcements about them, but do keep them in mind. The first week of July for the Holiday Bible Club, and then just at the end of July, the 29th to the 2nd of August, will be the sports week. So remember these outreaches during the summer as well, and keep them before the Lord in prayer. Remember those that are ill in the congregation. Many, I'm not going to mention this morning in case I leave someone out, but you will know that there are a number of people in need of our prayers and support during this time of illness, and do support them by your prayers and keep them before the Lord continually at this time. We're going to join in the singing of a hymn while the offerings for the Lord's work are received. 165, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. 165, page 244, keeping our seats for the first part as the offerings are received.
Thank you.
stand and sing the third verse again, please, making it the last. For prayer. Father, we take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill us to the uttermost. I take, He undertakes for me. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention again to the book of Acts and to the theme, the Holy Spirit at work in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And last Lord's Day morning, we were on this second chapter, looking at the first verses, very familiar to many. The day of Pentecost, the moving of the Spirit of God. And last week, we were focusing on the symbols that are used here in this portion of God's Word. The sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. The cloven tongues, like as a fire. These symbols of the Holy Spirit of God. And how we need the wind of God to come sweeping through the church of Christ, to come sweeping through our lives. How we need the fire of God to burn, that the fire of God might fall and the blessing of God might be poured out upon His people. We come this morning to verse 4. Not only do we notice here the symbols, but we notice the substance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You will notice verse 2, what it says, that this sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. It did not merely fill the house, but it filled all the people there. None were excluded. All who were there were included. And when they stood up to speak, even the mockers noticed and they said, "These men are full." Although they added they were full with new wine. Verse 13. Yet they evidently detected a singular fullness about these people. This morning we are poor, empty things by nature, and useless while we remain so. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Emptied, that thou shouldest fill me. We are empty vessels this morning. There are some people who believe in the Spirit of God giving utterance only. And they look upon instruction in divine things as of secondary importance. What trouble comes when we act upon this theory? How empty vessels clatter and rattle and sound. But where the Spirit of God is truly at work, He first fills and then He gives utterance. That is God's way.
That is the divine order. And we noted this last week. The order is very important. Do you remember when there was disorder and division in the church, as there was in Corinth, Paul wrote these words. And he was writing to a large extent in those chapters about the Spirit and the working of the Spirit and the body of Christ. And he said there at the end of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, let all things be done decently and in order. God never blesses disorder in the church. People come to me today and say, oh, in our church we just do everything on a whim. We don't go by any kind of order. And that's not of the Spirit. That's not of the Spirit. You read your Bible and you see the Spirit of God moves where there is order. And the Spirit of God brings order to the church. And so there's first the infilling. Oh, that you and I at this moment were filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice the word full that's used here. They were not cold and dead. They were not empty of life, as we sometimes are. They were full. They were full. Then there was no room for anything else in any one of them. They were too completely occupied by the heavenly power to have room for the desires of the flesh. And so the will of the flesh was forsaken. The way of the flesh was forsaken. The works of the flesh that are mentioned in Galatians 5 were forsaken. And in fact, there was every evidence in the church, in the Acts of the Apostles, of the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5. 9 fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc., that are mentioned. These were characteristics of the church in the Acts of the Apostles. Fear was banished. Every minor motive was expelled. The Spirit of God flooded their very being. Drove out everything that was of man. There was nothing superficial. It was all of substance. It was all of the Spirit of God. They were different than ever they had been before. They were so full of God. And when men and women are so full of God, that is the reverse to those that are full of self, to those that are full of the flesh. The difference between any empty person and a full person is something very wonderful. Let a thirsty person have an empty vessel handed to them. There may be much noise in the handling, but what a mockery as it touches their lips. But fill it with refreshing water. What blessing it brings as it reaches the person's lips. The blessing of quenching their thirst. Out of a full vessel, the person may drink to the full. And out of a church that is full, the world shall receive salvation. But never out of an empty church, in the sense of being empty of the Spirit of God. The first thing we want as a church is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We read this morning in our Bible reading, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, for it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This was a personal filling. This was a plentiful filling. This was a perpetual filling. You see, when the apostle speaks here about being filled with the Spirit, he uses the present continuous sense. Literally, be ye being filled. Be ye being filled. Paul is not referring here to an experience of a moment, but the experience of a lifetime. Not the experience of a moment, but the experience of a lifetime. Be ye being filled continually. And he uses an illustration, being filled with wine. Be not drunk with wine, for it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A fluctuating state. The filling is temperamental, and as much as it largely depends on the individual believer. He or she can be filled one moment, and because of disobedience, can be empty the next moment. But the purpose of the filling is to change our temperament and make us more like Jesus in our nature, as far as His our person and personality is concerned, so that in thought, word, and deed, we might show Christ to a lost world. And that's what happened in the Acts of the Apostles, men. They showed Christ to a lost world. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Daniel Roland, great preacher, a unique man in many ways, on numerous occasions, he wouldn't turn up in time for the service. And they would go out along the road to see where he was, if they could find him. And then they would hear a voice behind the hedge saying, I cannot go up there unless you go with me. I will not go up there unless you go with me. And then a little later, Daniel Roland would come and he would climb into the pulpit. And he would preach with such power as people had never seen before. And people were swept into the kingdom of God. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, at times, he wouldn't even go to the service because he felt he was not filled with the Spirit to preach the Word of God. This filling, men and women, is available to us this morning. But our realization of it depends upon our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, all those present in that upper room were filled with the Spirit. And this filling is available to every believer. There is no exception. And there can be no excuse for not being filled. The Spirit. But then I want you to think about the speaking, because you remember we said earlier, the order here is important. You see, the Bible tells us here, they were all, verse 4 of Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here we have the utterance or the speaking. As soon as the Spirit of God filled them, they began to speak. And they must speak. They had to speak. So when the Spirit of God comes upon a person, they must speak. Speak to one person, speak to two people, speak to three people, or speak to a company of people. And let me tell you this, friend. Their utterance was understood utterance. Other tongues. Now, people misinterpret this passage. But you read the whole context. It wasn't a language that was not understood because there were people from every nationality there. But they all understood the language. They all understood. It was a known language. It was utterance that was understood. There's no use in me coming here this morning. Maybe you have difficulty enough understanding me. But if I get up and speak so that you can't understand my utterance, then I have failed. I have utterly failed. It's certainly not of the Spirit. Spirit gave them utterance. The crowd not only understood, but they felt. The Bible tells us, you read the context here in Acts 2, they were here, the hearers were pricked in their heart, the truth wounded them, and the slain of the Lord were many. You see, there are two effects of the Holy Spirit, a fullness of the Spirit in the ministry and the church. And next, a fire ministry, a church on fire, speaking so as to be felt and understood by those around.
You see, causes produce effects like themselves. And this wind and fire ministry here did its work. It did its work. We read this. It was noised abroad. Look at verse 6. When this was noised abroad, what was happening? It was noised abroad. Of course it was, because there had been a noise of a rushing mighty wind. And next to that we read that all the people came together, verse 6, and were confounded. There was a stir, for a great wind from heaven was rushing. And all were amazed and were astonished. And while some inquired believingly, others began, of course, to mock. Of course they did. When there's a fire burning, fire divides. It's a divisive thing. And this fire began to separate between the precious and the vile, as it will always do when it comes into operation. We may expect at the beginning of a true revival to observe a moment, a movement among the people, a noise, a stirring. These things are not done in a corner. Cities will know the presence of God. Towns and villages and hamlets will know the presence of God, and crowds will be attracted to the event. George Duncan tells the story. When he was a boy, he used to holiday in the Scottish Highlands. And he used to like to dam up a small burn. You know what that is? Small stream. And they would fill the bed of the stream with big rocks. And they would fill the crannies and gaps in the rocks with turf that was hacked off the bank. And gradually a great pool of water would build up behind the bed of the burn below was dry, but the bed above was full of water. It was fun to build the dam and to watch the pool of water grow. But then there came the final climax of delight when they broke the dam and through the gap the pent-up waters burst forth and released. Duncan says this, at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes at our conversion, we receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is different. This is not a matter of receiving, but releasing. The dam bursts and the water flows. Oh, my friend, that's what the church needs. May God cause the dam to burst this morning. The water to burst forth in our midst. The substance. But then I want you to think about the subject. Verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. The subject was the wonderful works of God. What did they speak about? First, they spoke about redemption and that wonderful work of God. And this was the theme of Peter's sermon to a large extent on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He told the people that Jesus was slain, that he had come to redeem men. What a glorious theme is this. What a wonderful message. Spirit-filled believers and spirit-filled preachers have to tell a world that is lost, a world that is dying, a world that is in darkness. He preached redemption. He preached redemption. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is one of the wonderful works of God which we can never make too frequent mention of.
in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption. And that's the message, friend, of the church today. It must be our message. It must be our theme. It's only through this message that you can be saved. The message of redemption. But not only was there the message of redemption, but there was a message of regeneration. There was no concealing the work of the Holy Spirit in this ministry. Ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And the preachers of Pentecost told of the Spirit's work by the Spirit's power, conversion, repentance, renewal, faith, holiness, and such things were freely spoken of and ascribed to their real author, the divine Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God shall give us once again a full and fiery ministry, we will hear this proclaim, He must be born again, because that's the message of regeneration, being born of God. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me tell you this morning that you need to be born again. You need to be born of God. You need to be born of the Spirit. Have you been born again? The Bible says you must be born again. And the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But not only was there the emphasis upon redemption and regeneration, but there was the emphasis on remission of sins. And this was the point that Peter pushed home to them, that on repentance they should receive remission of sins. Look at verse 38 of Acts 2. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what a blessed message this is. My friend, this morning there is pardon for crimes of deepest dye. There is pardon that is bought with Jesus' blood. There is a free pardon. There is a full pardon. There is an irreversible pardon given to the vilest sinner. What a glorious message. That we can proclaim the world wide that Christ receiveth sinful men. That Christ pardons sinful men. And if we are to have the Spirit of God resting upon our labors, we must keep these things to the front. We must keep these themes to the fore. Redemption, regeneration, and remission. But there's not only here what we have noticed in relation to the subject, but also the salvation. That's the fourth point. God moved mightily in the salvation of souls here. You will notice in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. There is no salvation without conviction. They were disturbed in their heart. And they cried out, what shall we do? And all that people here today and people wherever the gospel is truly preached in this world today would be convicted of their sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come and brought to that point where they will cry out, what shall we do? Is that the cry of your heart this morning? Remember the Philippian jailer? When that earthquake took place at midnight, he called for a light and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He was convicted. He was alerted. He was awakened. He was alarmed. He was brought to the place where he cried out, what must I do to be saved? Are you here this morning in the sleep of death?
Your heart needs to be stirred, and you've heard the gospel and it just runs off you like water off a duck's back, and you need to be disturbed this morning, and you need to be awakened, and you need to be brought in conviction to the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only was there conviction, there was conversion, because verse 41 tells us that there were added unto them 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls were saved as a result of one sermon, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was at work that day. And not only people were convicted, but people were converted. And when the Spirit of God moves, and when the Spirit of God comes to a meeting, or comes through a sermon, or comes through the witness of the Church of Jesus Christ, I tell you, friend, people will be saved. And that happened again and again in the Acts of the Apostles. The Holy Spirit was at work. And we can talk till we're blue in the face about what the church needs, friend, but the bottom line is it needs this. It needs this. We could sit at meetings and discuss what we're going to do and all the rest of it, but the Holy Spirit is what we need. The Holy Spirit is what we need. And it is the Holy Spirit that brings conversion. Genuine conversion. Well, people can say so many people were made a decision, and I'm not the judge of that. The Lord sees, friend. We've all had people in meetings who have made decisions. There's nothing to it. Maybe you've made a decision in your life to be saved when you were a child or when you were some other age of life, but there's never any change in your life. You see, friend, whether there's conviction and whether there's conversion, there's a change in the individual. A change that is brought about by the Spirit of God. Have you known that change this morning? Are you going around and you say, oh, well, I have a profession. It's like, you know, getting a passport, and you can get into all these countries because you have a passport. You say, I've got a passport for heaven, and so I can live as I like and do as I want, and I'm still saved. And if you're saved, your life will be changed. The Bible talks about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Now, if you haven't got that, friend, I tell you this morning, in the authority of God's Word, you haven't got God's salvation. You haven't got it. That's the long and short of it. You haven't got it. Your life has to be changed. And thank God it can be changed this morning, if you will come to Christ. But not only was there conviction and conversion here, but there was confession, because the Bible tells us they that gladly received His word, verse 41, were baptized. They didn't get baptized in order to get saved. They were baptized when they got saved. It was subsequent to their confession. It was a confession of their faith. And that's what baptism is, a confession of our faith, an open confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very, very important. We talk about the Lord's table, which is very, very important, but baptism is also very, very important. We're not seeking to minimize it in any way. It's an evidence, an open confession. And that's what happened here. These people were baptized. People saw what had happened. They were converted. These people's lives were changed. The Holy Ghost was at work in that day. May the Holy Ghost be at work in our day. Men and women, He is still the same. Still the same. Our prayer is that the Lord might come again by His Spirit in power into our midst, that marvelous and mighty things might be done for the glory of His great name. A.J. Gordon said this: before Pentecost, the disciples found it hard to do easy things. After Pentecost, they found it easy to do hard things. I say it again, before Pentecost, the disciples found it hard to do easy things. After Pentecost, they found it easy to do hard things. And when we have the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, then we will find it easy to do hard things. And great and mighty things will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts this morning. And we pray that through the scriptures we will be built up. We will be encouraged. We will be challenged. And souls will be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is the words of 181 in our hymn book. 181 in our hymn book. Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, alone can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify, keep us pure within. 181 on page 249. And we do have the Lord's table during the last two verses. If you must leave us, then you have opportunity to leave. We do meet down here, downstairs, in alternate rows, so that men can serve the emblems for the communion service. Welcome all those who are saved and know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour to the table this morning. 181, page 249. We'll stand as we sing.